Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 4, shall we? James chapter 4. We're going to actually finish chapter 4 today. We're going to be moving into chapter 5 next week. Wow. Chapter 4. Last week we talked about basically how we talk to one another. And, you know, we need to be careful what comes out of our mouths, you know, how we speak. This idea of speaking against, slandering, traducing, speaking badly or telling lies about someone, bad-mouthing people. You know, we just have to be very careful what comes out of our mouths, because we end up putting ourselves above others. We're so critical and we put ourselves above other people, above everybody else, and then we become the judge. But the truth is, we're all going to be held account. God's going to hold each one of us to account. And so we have to keep that in mind. Now, there are times when we need to judge and we need to do the right thing. We talked about it. You can go back and listen to that from last week. But that's last week, right? And that's past. Now, today is a brand new day, right? And what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? Yeah, that's what James is talking about in this passage that we're going to look at today. What about tomorrow? You know, we have this kind of idea that, you know, we're the master of our fate. You know, we're the master of our destiny, and we have our plans and everything else. And I'm talking to believers because James is talking to believers, right? If you're not a believer, well, you know, this message will make no sense to you at all, because you pretty much are in charge of your own life, or at least you think you are. But I think, you know, this really hits home to us, because, you know, we have our plans, and what happens is we leave God out. Or we kind of see, we make our plans and then we ask God to bless them, right? Instead of, God, what is your plan? And I want to go along with you. And that's what James is talking about here today. So let's read the verses, James 4, 13, starting in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Today, he says, listen up, basically James says here, listen up. You who are saying these things. The context, of course, we looked at quite a bit, the context about being humble and humbling ourselves before God. But humility is needed for us to be able to surrender and submit to the will of God and the work of God in our lives. Today or tomorrow, do you even know about tomorrow? Do we even know? Jesus talked about it right in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The old King James says, the evil, sufficient for the day is the evil. You know, there's evil and trouble in all these days, you know, but we worry so much about tomorrow. We worry so much about the past. But it doesn't mean that we don't make any plans for the future. It doesn't mean we don't have some kind of an idea where we're heading. But what James is specifically talking about is God a part of that? And have we submitted ourselves to Him, humbled ourselves before Him? Or are we just doing our own thing, basically? He says that the people were saying these things. They're saying, we're going to go to this city, we're going to spend a year there, we're going to do all this stuff, but where's God in all of it? I thought of the Tower of Babel. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 11. The Tower of Babel, you know, we're going to build this tower, we're going to do this thing. It's all about us. And what happened? There's no Tower of Babel that I've seen. He says we're going to carry on business and, you know, we're going to make a profit. Is that the focus that we should have as believers? We're going to carry on business. We're going to make money. We're going to do all this stuff. This doesn't sound like seek first the kingdom of God and then God's going to take care of us. We're going to carry on business. You know, I looked at that carry on business and the definition means to buy and sell. We're going to buy and sell. We're going to do all. We're going to carry on business. We're going to make a lot of money and do all this stuff. I kind of know a little bit about this buying and selling thing because I have like a hobby, right? And I buy stuff and I sell stuff. Sometimes I buy more than I sell. Because you gotta sell the stuff you buy, right? I got a lot of stuff that I need to sell. But people don't come to your house looking for it. You need to tell them what you have, right? I mean, that's my problem. Pray for me. But the name Chapman, I don't know if you know this, but the name Chapman literally means peddler. Or trader. Chap, C-E-A-P, means buying and selling and man. And if you put an H in there, what do you get? C-H-E-A-P. Ouch. Don't say that to me, whatever you do. But we do this stuff, you know, and I can get, you know, you can get so focused on all these things and the things of this life where you forget about what is important in life. It just happens, you know, and America is probably the king of this. You go to some countries and, man, that's, you know, they're just trying to survive. But in America, man, we're all about getting and stuff and money and bank accounts and all every. This is pretty much how we've been raised and taught. And we're, you know, the wealthiest, maybe the wealthiest, I'm not sure, country in the world. And the poorest of us are more wealthy than most of the rest of the world. So you think, well, I don't have a lot of money. Well, compared to somebody in India, you do. This word, make money, it's translated in some versions, gain. I'm going to carry on business and I'm going to gain. I'm going to get gain. I'm going to acquire. I'm going to get more. I'm going to gain. This same word was used, I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. You're going to see some contrast here. Because this same word, Jesus used it, and then Paul used it as well in two different contexts. Jesus said this, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What good is it in the end? You're going to get it all. You gain it all, but you've lost your soul. Paul, talking, said this, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, what? That I may gain Christ. You see the difference? One is, you know, I want to gain the whole world. I want all the stuff the world has to offer. But Paul says, you know what? That's all rubbish in comparison to gaining Christ. What really matters in this life, in this world, these days that we have. Now, like I said, making plans isn't bad, but who's going to be first? Leaving God out, that's the problem that we have. We have this, as one person said, this arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency, independent of God. That's what we think. I'm going to do it. I'll do it. I got this. You ever heard that phrase? I got this. Do you? Can you stand before God and you say to him, oh, I got this. And he says, really? Let's see. Go on with you. And then we realize, you know what? I really don't got this. And God, I need your help. I need you. And where did I go off the rails? Where did I go doing my thing? And I really don't have a clue as to what your plan is for my life. Verse 14, he said, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're just a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes, just like the vapor, just like the smoke, the fog that's there and then gone. You know, we have this impression in our lives that, you know what, I've got this thing happening and you know, it's all going so well. But you know what, life is fleeting, isn't it? We don't realize that, but it really, really is. Psalm 90, we're going to finish with Psalm 90, and Moses said, you know, I might be here for 70 or maybe 80, but, you know, a lot of people don't make it to 70. Some make it to 90. I get that too. But do we really know how long we're going to live in this life? Job said, my life is but a breath. My life is just a breath. It's just a breath in and out. That's it. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 39. That's why I put that up there. Psalm 39. And we'll see what the psalmist has to say about this, because we find this theme, this idea throughout the scripture. Psalm 39, in verses 4 through 7. This is a psalm of David, as it says at the heading. And David says this, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. It's just a very narrow. And the span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Verse 6, man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Oh, they'll fight for it after you're gone. Don't worry. But now, Lord, what do I look for? But now, Lord. I didn't notice that before. He says, but now, Lord, in this translation. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Now, today. James is saying today, what, you know, you've got this plan for tomorrow, but what about today? Where's your heart at today? Is God a part of your life today? You think you got all this time, but how much time do you really have? James is saying. David is saying. Back in James, he goes on in verse 15 and he says this, Instead of making all these plans, he said, instead, you ought to say, what you should say is, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. People sometimes they go off and they're saying, well, you know, if you say that, then you're not speaking in faith. If you pray for something, God, if this is your will, you're not speaking in faith, but James is saying this is what you need to do. This is a place of submission to God's will. Because we don't always know what it is. We can't, you know, tell God what to do. Oh, we think we can, but it's just ridiculous, right? He says, instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live. Our very lives are in His hands. We will live and we will do this and or we will do that. Paul, when he was leaving Ephesus in Acts chapter 18, they wanted him to come back. He said, but as he left, it says that he promised them, I will come back if it's the Lord's will, if it's God's will. And then he set sail from there. Didn't Jesus say something like that too when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Now this is Jesus, right? The Son of God. What did he say? He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. He surrendered. He submitted himself to the will of God. Jesus. You know, I put that up on the screen, Deo Volente. Anybody know what that means? Well, the Deo part, you can figure that out, right? God willing, right. People back in the early 1900s, they would sign that off on their end of their letters or things they would write, DV or Deo Volente, meaning I'm surrendering all this to the will of God. If this is what God wills. I wonder if we should sign off every day, sign off every plan, Deo Volente, God willing. That's what James is saying. Instead, this is what we ought to say. If it's the Lord's will, we will live. We will do this. We will do that. Again, it's not that you don't make any plans. He says, but they're surrendering. If it's God's will, we're going to be okay. We're going to do this. I mean, that's a whole subject, this idea of God's will, isn't it? I thought, you know, it could do a whole, really could do a whole month on knowing God's will. But really, to simplify things, to know God's will, you have to ask Him. You have to seek His will. You have to pray. You have to desire what God's will is. If you never ask Him what His will is, are you going to ever know what it is? Well, sometimes you find out the hard way. Well, I guess that wasn't God's will. Right? But isn't it better to ask ahead of time? God, I've got this idea now. What do you think about it? Is this part of your plan for my life or not? Now, God's word spells out, you know, His will in so many different areas. And some things are so very, very clearly spelled out, you know. Sexual immorality says it's God's will that you should not be involved in sexual immorality. That's one thing. There are a bunch of things that it's clearly spelled out. This is God's will. But then it also, I think there's a place too for God's this specific, this personal will for each one of us as His child, where He's going to direct us, and I believe that He will, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to ask Him, to seek Him. I think it's exciting when we discover what God's will is. It's an exciting thing that happens. Wow. But I thought I was supposed to be. No, this is what God wants. He says, if it's the Lord's will, we'll live. Our very lives are really kind of dependent on that. That's the word for live there is zao or zeo, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But it lives to live, to breathe, to be among the living. If it's God's will, I'll be alive today. I might not be alive tomorrow. I don't know. I'm not prophesying. I feel pretty good right now. Don't worry. But if God said it's time for me to go home tomorrow, then that's His prerogative, right? He is God. He is my God. He's the creator of the universe. Our very lives depend on Him. I used to read this scripture a lot in Psalm 139. He says, your eyes saw my unformed body. He's talking about before he was even born. And he says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before we were even born and came into this world, he knew how many days that we were going to have, how many days that you're going to have. Is that amazing? He says, if it's the Lord will, we will live and we'll do this and we'll do that. Kind of see where James is going with this thing? Like, God, we got to focus on him. Verse 16, he says, as it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. As it is, we've got this idea, you know, that we, you know, again, we've got it all together. I looked up that word brag, and it's alazoneia, and it means empty braggart talk, trusting in one's own power and resources. Interesting thing, I found that John uses the very same word in 1 John chapter 2, the verses that you'll know. He says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride, alazoneia of life, the boasting, bragging of life, it doesn't come from the Father, but from the world. It comes from the world. We get sucked into the world just like that. We get sucked into what the world says is right. Good. Let's finish up with verse 17. He says, anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and he doesn't do it, he sins. He misses the mark. Now the context is today. What can I do today? Anyone who knows the good that he ought to do today and doesn't do it sins. The context is having God in the center, having God and his will important in my life. If we're not doing that, we're sinning. We're missing the mark. We're missing what God has for us. So what do I say? I say that we need to do what we can today. We need to seek him today. We need to follow him today. Ask him what his plans are for today. Maybe that's a good way to start the day. We wake up and we open our eyes, or we don't open our eyes, but we're awake and we're just saying, Lord, what, you know, I'm going to give this day to you. I have plans for tomorrow. I have plans for next week, next year, whatever. But today is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 25. This is one of my favorite psalms. This is in the NLT version. He says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. And all day long I put my hope in you. All day long I put my hope in you. Proverbs 19 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's close with Luke chapter 12. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 12, and we'll close with that passage. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Parable of Jesus. Jesus told these stories that had spiritual application, spiritual meaning, earthly stories with a spiritual meaning. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, it says, and he told them this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Jesus sums it up. He said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. I don't want to end up like that. Well, I'm just going to go rent another storage unit. Oh, I got to get a bigger storage unit now. Oh, I think I need a warehouse. Where's God in the middle of all that? That's what he's saying. He says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. What have you done today? What are you doing? What is going on in your life? What is happening with you? The psalmist, Psalm 31, he says, my times, the times, the days of my life are in your hands. And Moses, y'all heard of Moses? You know, Moses, he wrote songs. He wrote all kinds of stuff too. But he in Psalm 90, it's called the Prayer of Moses. It's powerful. It's possible he wrote some of the other psalms, we're not sure. But this one's, you know, we're pretty confident that he wrote this particular psalm. But in the middle of that psalm, he says these words. He said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, be wise about how we live. Because they're not with no end. We have a certain amount of days that we have. Let's wisely use what we have. Warren Wiersbe said, life is so brief that we can't afford to waste it. We can't afford to waste the time that we have. We do. You know, I waste a lot of time. We all do. Moses said to God, teach us to number our days. Help us in that. He goes on to talk about worship, and I mentioned this in the very beginning. He talks in there about worship, about, you know, seeking God's face in the morning. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. And then he talks about, you know, the Lord's favor being upon what we do. As I said, those two things, they need to be up at the top. This heart of worship and then willingness to serve God. How am I serving God? What am I doing with my life? Is it all going to be for me and what I can leave behind? Because I'm not going to be able to spend it all. You think of these guys that are billionaires. Like, what are they going to do with all that money? Well, they could help me out a little bit, I guess. I wouldn't know what to do with it. What are you going to do with all that? And the pride that comes along with that. If you've got how many zeros behind your name, that's like each one of those is a little pride builder. Oh, got another zero. Oh, got another zero. Wow, I'm doing so good. Wow. Not having this stuff and having those things isn't bad, but as Jesus pointed out in this parable, he says, are you storing up stuff for yourself, but are you being rich toward God? Is God a part of all this or not? Today is the day. Let's pray, shall we? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I know the people in this room and the people watching, they wanted to hear from you, or they wouldn't be here, or they wouldn't be watching. And so I know that there is a place in our hearts, each one of us here, to ask you, what's your will, Lord? For my life, just the very fact that I'm still alive, I know in my own life I could have died many different times. But you still have a plan, you still have a purpose, and Lord, so I want to know what that is and surrender to it for today. What is that purpose today? How can I worship you? How can I serve you today? It doesn't mean I don't do other things. But what's at the heart of who I am? Guide us by your Spirit, Lord. We prayed that consuming fire fan into flame the passion for your name. We submit, we surrender to you, God. Pray too for any, as I said earlier, don't know Jesus, who are not Christians. How can you even survive this life, this world? Jesus is the Savior. Reach out to him and he's right there. He will save you. All you need to do is reach out to him and call upon his name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. We do acknowledge that you are the God who provides. Help us not to focus on the things, but to focus on you. In Jesus' name.